Okay, boys. Today's daf is daf lamed. We're holding chaf tes amid beis, the last three lines, where the Gemara quotes from the Mishnah. You recall the Mishnah said towards the end that if the Kohen Gadol had to go and relieve himself gedolim, what's the halacha? Then he has to go and toivel. On the other hand, if he only has to go for ketanim, he has to urinate. Then
those
the halacha
are
is.
Words. I thought those are just. Going big or small.
It's exactly right.
With the Rashi.
The education you get is
Rashi is a Rashi. Look, Rashi made the Kraglov.
I think you were
from Hagdoilim. Government Doilim means
I think you were.
But this is not only a Yiddish expression. This is a Rashi brings the ray. It's a ray, the Rashi knew Yiddish. Anyway, Rashi in the Mishnah said Chavches means Korech. Means the Kovim Gedoilim is Mesach Raglav, he has to go to the mikveh, and whoever is Matul Mayim, which means he has to urinate, he needs Kiddush Yodayim Viraglav. By the way, this is not just Halacha the Kohen Gadol, this Halacha applies to any Kohen throughout the year that does avoid the Beis Hamikdash. We're going to focus on the second aspect, and that is the Mei Raglayim. A little bit later, we're going to come back to the Inyan of Gedoilim. Says the Gemara, Bishloima Raglayim Mishum Nitzoytis. I can understand why you need Kiddush Raglayim from the Kiyar. Because Nitzoytis. Nitzoytis means that as the person urinated, maybe some of the drops got on his legs. And so therefore, if people would notice that, that would number one be embarrassing. But number two, we'll see Mishum Nigmara in another moment that if one can tell that a person has urine on his legs, it would therefore appear that he doesn't have the normal stream of urine like normal people urinate, but that Chas V'Shalom he might be a Krus Shofcha. Krus Shofcha means that Chas V'Shalom there's a problem with his Aver or with his Bayim. That means with the male organ or with the testicles.
Why not just say it's a Baal Mum?
Okay, well, I'm only quoting for the Gemara, which we'll see mention another two lines.
Okay.
Anyway, so because that I can understand why you would want to go and clean all of that off in case there are any droplets on his legs. Eliyadayim like timer. Why do you have to wash the hands? It would be enough just to go and do Kiddush Raglayim. After all, we don't mean that a person didn't do Kiddush Raglayim. The Kohen did Kiddush Raglayim Raglayim in the morning, but during the day, of course, he had to go to the bathroom. So now, just do Kiddush Raglayim. Why do you have to repeat the Yadayim? Amar Rabba, Zoi Sein Meretz, Mitzvah L'Shavshav. From this we see, there's a mitzvah to go, and M'Shavshav means to go and clean up the leg with one's hand. What's the reason for cleaning up the leg with one's hand? Mesai L'Rabam, the Amar Rabbami, also the Odom Sheyetzei, B'Nitzoytish Al-Gabi Raglav. A person is not allowed to go and walk around with droplets of urine on his leg. And they should near a Krishovka, because it looks like the Chas V'Shalom, part of his aver may have been amputated, and as a result, he doesn't urinate normally like regular people. And what's worse than that is, if Chas V'Shalom, a person doesn't have a normal aver, if it has been cut short, then he cannot go and be mazriya zera, and therefore his wife has children, they'll say, it's not from the husband. His husband is not capable of having children. It must mean that Chas V'Shalom, she lived with somebody else.
People will talk, right?
People will talk. They will be gossip. And this is terrible gossip, to say children are mamzerim. And to therefore go not only wipe off and wash off the leg, but also wipe the hands, because the hands themselves are doing the wiping of the legs, and therefore go and make sure to wash Kiddush Yodayim Viraglayim. Now, on the surface, it would appear that the whole reason for washing one's hands is because of this inyan of l'shafshef, to go and dry it up and to wipe it up. What happens if, in fact, a person, either a kohen went to the bathroom, and Baruch Hashem, there were no nitzaitzais. He was able to go in a urinal, for instance. Nothing splashed, nothing splattered. It wasn't necessary. Would you still say in that case that you have to wash your hands? And perhaps you don't even have to wash the feet. There are no nitzaitzais, and there are no requirement of shifshuf. Would you say that you would be potter? So in fact, this is a question that doesn't only occupy us vis-a-vis the Kehanim and the Beis Hamikdash, but even nowadays, does a person have to wash his hands after he goes to the bathroom if he used a urinal and his hands are clean and his legs are clean and everything is great? So in fact, it's a Machlokes Rishonim. We have the Tosfos Yeshanim here on the side. If you look at the first Shtikl Tosfos Yeshanim, Mitzvah L'Shavshev. Oimer Rabbeinu Tam. Ki mikan. What else? You have it, but it's in small lettering. Can you read that? If you want, you can try to read it with me. Oimer Rabbeinu Tam. Oh, perfect. Ki mikan yesh lumay. From this we can derive, we can learn. Shanichnas lahashtin mayim. Person who goes to urinate. Ein tzorech lito yodav im loy shifshef. If he didn't go and use his hands to dry, he doesn't have to go and wash his hands. Vim shifshef miyan nira, ein tzorech levorech an latilis yodoyim. If he was mishafshef, if he in fact used his hands to go and clean himself up to wipe, and he drops, etc., he does not have to make a brach an latilis yodoyim. Mide dehava negia yodav im mokamati noifes, oy hoyuragla miluchlochis betitu betoyim. After all, this washing of the hands, this is not the negel vaser in the morning. This is not the tilas yadayim for a su'uda. This is just because there was dirt, so to speak, on his legs. It's no different than any other type of dirt, where after the person's hands are dirty, he goes and washes his hands, but he doesn't go and make a bracha on the tilas yadayim throughout the day, every time he washed off his hands because they were dirty. So therefore, it says, the Tois Rishonim, B'shem Rabbeinu Tam, that if a person was mashed in mai, and he was not mishavshef, he didn't go and wipe anything, he doesn't even have to wash his hands at all. And if he was mishavshef, and then of course he has to wash his hands, but then he does not have to make a brach on tisidoy. But for the Ashi Yotzeloi hoyer Rabbeinu Meir rogel varach. Can you imagine? Rabbeinu Meir didn't even say Ashi Yotzer after urination. Ach Rabbeinu rogel levarach Ashi Yotzer. So I assume that when he's referring to Rabbeinu Meir and to Rabbeinu, he's not referring to Rabbeinu Meir and Rabbeinu of the Gemara, of the Mishnayis, because we don't find a Mishnah of Rameir or Rebbe taking a stand on these issues. So I'm assuming that the Rameir that Tosfos Shonim is referring to is someone who lived in his era, as well as the Rabbeinu was his Rebbe.
Do you have Rabbeinu or Rebbe? And I have my Rebbe in my Tosfos Shonim.
Okay, I think you should get a refund.
Yeah.
Okay.
I have Rebbe in as well.
I have Rabbeinu. I have.
Anyway, here it says Ach Rabbeinu Rogel Levarech Ashi Yotzer. Rabbeinu was Rogel to go and make the Bracha Ashi Yotzer, and of course that's our minhag today. But Rav Elchanan, not referring to Rav Elchanan Vassaman, but Rav Elchanan Hayroitze Litchois Dehakol Amatel Mayim Toin Kiddush. Rabbeinu Elchanan was not in agreement with Rabbeinu Tam. Rabbeinu Tam said, if you're not in the shav shef, then you don't have to wash your hands. The Bukhan says that's not true, because it says, kol ham matl mayim toin kiddush. The mashma filo leka klal ni tzoytzers. The lepolik rabbonim kiddush. When it said in the Mishnah, kol ham matl mayim toin kiddush, didn't say kol ham matl mayim, and the shiv shef biyodav, and the were or not ni tzoytzers. It's a mashma that you always have to have kiddush yodayim reglayim. The mashma filo leka klal ni tzoytzers. The lepolik rabbonim kiddush. The same thing would apply. So therefore, when you do wash your hands after going and using the facilities, even for just urinating, yes, you do have to wash your hands after all. Yes?
I understand Asher, it's 100%.
Right.
But what is the Netilis Yadayim? How does that play into this whole conversation?
Okay. Netilis Yadayim, one of the brachas that we make early in the morning. We make Asher Kedushan Mitzvah. It's one Al Netilas Yadayim. So now, many people may be under the misimpression that every time you go to the bathroom, you should make two brachas. One Al Netilas Yadayim and Ashi Yotzer. So he's telling us, no. We only have to do Ashi Yotzer. Al Netilas Yadayim we only make in the morning when you wake up, as well as throughout the day when you are washing for bread, or matzahs, or chalks, etc. Continuing on, the Halmandu, Achishlem, the Komokan, Nehi, the Gabi Kiddush, the Diamond, the Public Rabban, the Til, the Tfilah, Mielay, the Tirin, Shetzrichon, Bchalinian, Hilkochai Tarach. He says, could be for Tfilah, you don't have to wash your hands every single time, because they're only Masakinet, Ke'en, Kiddush, the Diamond, Raglayim, which was after urination, but for Tfilah alone, maybe you don't have to go and just wash your hands if you don't need it. In other words, your hands are clean and everything is fine. Umi uhecha de shifshif vari tarach lito oiseyat kinam rin besamach gabi suda that adam yoitse, as we'll see in the Gemara Shodi. Avlein the Baruch Kimoi Shipirashti. Anyway, so bottom line is, you see from the Tosi Shonim something for us which is, if you will, startling, because we all know since we were little kids that when you go to the bathroom you have to go and wash your hands, regardless your shif shif, nish shif shif, your nitzoyt, nish nitzoyt, you gotta wash your hands.
I assume he didn't touch the aver, because if he did, anyway, that's a different place of Makusa. Well, we have a general rule that if you touch a place that's covered,
you're supposed to go and wash your hands as well.
And also Gusser. Other reasons you're recording, more nida, you're not supposed to.
Exactly. So, bottom line is, we have a machloikis in here between Rebbe Tam, whether or not you have to wash your hands every time if you were, did not have a nitzoytzis issue and you were not mishavshev. So Rebbe Tam says, oh, you don't have to. However, Rebbe Chanan says, no, that's not the case, that because of the fact that the Mishnah used the expression kolam matal mayim, in all cases you always have to wash your hands, yon nitzoyt and nish nitzoyt, and the same thing applies in the Tilas Sinai. So on that high note, we go now from the inyan of urine, from meraglayim, and now we're going to talk a little bit about tzoya. Tzoya is excrement, and we're going to talk about the inyan taka of gedolim. This is Omerak Papa, fourth line from the top. Tzoya bim koyma osa likreis kriyishma. Now we know from Masechtas Brachos that if there happens to be tzoya on the ground within Dalet Amis, and you see it and you smell it, then you're not allowed to go and lay Krishma or any Dava Shebekdusha, because it's not a covet, it's a zilzil, because of the presence of the tzoya and because of the terrible stench. Here we're talking about a person that has tzoya bim koyma, means in the Pia Tabas. Pia Tabas means down below in the rectum, where the person usually relieves himself. If you have tzoya in that mokoyim, even though this is covered up, the person is wearing clothing, just the presence of the tzoya in that mokoyim, possibly because Krishma, you're not allowed to lay in Krishma. So, Frank Dimahechidami, please explain to me a little bit more in detail. Eden Yeris, if in fact that tzoya is seeable, visible, when the person pulls his pants down, we're talking about the person is dressed, but were he to go and undress, if you can see it, Napshitan, of course you have to go and say, you cannot say Krishma. It's no different than having tzoya within your Dalet Amis. It's mamish on the person himself. It's Pshitan. Elamai idloi niris, if it's submerged, presumably it hasn't even come out of the pita bas, it's still within the body, but he knows that it's there. No, right, Dimore, loi nit neturnu malachi yasharis. In such a case, we are not perfect, we're not like malachim, meaning that malachim, of course, don't have this issue. That's why they don't have to go and buy any toilet paper or any tissues, because malachim don't defecate. So they don't have this issue. However, we, B'nai Adam, we do. But listen, we're not on the level of perfection like the malachim. So of course, if there happens to be some tzoya inside, no, because of that, you can't go and say Krishna. It's talking about a situation that when the person is sitting down, so therefore his buttocks are split, then one can go and see the tzoya. However, if he's standing up, so then it kind of comes together, then you don't see it. And therefore, says Rapapa, even though sometimes you see and sometimes you don't see, if you know it's there, then the halacha is, boom, you have to go, and you're not allowed to go and say Krishma. Why doesn't the Papa say the same halacha like tzoya al basarai? Didn't tzoya al basarai, if a person has tzoya on his body, on his skin, not bimkoma, down below, as a pita bas, but elsewhere on his skin. What happens if a person stuck his hands into a bathroom? He didn't even walk in, but he just stuck his hands inside. Ravuna Omar Mutter Likrish Krishma. Ravuna says you're allowed to go and read Krishma. Why does he hold you allowed to read Krishma? Because the person is covered. Even though this tzoya al basarai, but since he's dressed, you don't see it. It's not like the tzoya on the floor where you see it. Here it's covered over. Mutter Likrish Krishma. Rav Chisla Omar Os Likrish Krishma. Says Rav Chisla, no, you're not allowed to lay Krishma. So now, going back to Rav Papa says you're not allowed to lay Krishma. Clearly Rav Papa disagrees with Rav Huna, because Rav Huna says Mutal Likris Krishma, even though this tzoya al basara. L'choira, Rav Papa is consistent with Rav Chisda, because Rav Chisda also says if you have tzoya al basara, osir likris krishma. So what's the Gemara's kasha? Mosa Maish, tzoya al basara. Sounds like the Gemara is asking a kasha and Rav Papa. If anything, I have a riot to Rav Papa. Rav Chisda holds like Rav Papa. However, Rashi learns, no. That Rav Chisda's reasoning has nothing to do with the visibility of the tzoya. Meaning, back in Masechtas Brachos, it says that the reason why you're not allowed to say Krishma when you see the Tzoya, it says in the Torah, by Tzoya v'chisisa es tzeyasecha, a person should go and cover over anything that was excreted by the body, and v'yo machanecha kodosh, and your machne should be holy, that you shouldn't have Tzoya lying here, there, and everywhere. Therefore, if a person, for instance, had to go to the bathroom, and he had to go into the forest, he should go and take a yosei tilecha al azeinecha. That person should have with him a shovel if he happens to be, for instance, in the military, besides having all the other weapons, have a shovel or a spade to be able to go and cover over any tzoy that he may have.
So the enemy can't find it.
Exactly. And just in case, of course, if he doesn't have such a spade or a shovel, then he covers it over with something else, with paper or with leaves or whatever you can. Uh-huh. So here too, when you have that tzoya out in the open, don't say Krishma, it's not a makom kedusha if there's tzoya there. However, Rashi says Rav Chisda goes one step further. Rav Chisda Omer Osir. A person has to go and call out to Hashem and cry and daven with all of his atzamas, meaning with his every part of him, every fiber, every sinew, every artery, every part of him. It's time mishum, so says Rashi. Rashi is six lines at the top. Time mishum kol atzmoisai al mishum zoya mas hareach loy. The kasha of the Rav is travail. Ah, so the kasha of the Rav is not only from Rav Huna that says mutalikus krishma, but it's even shver from Rav Chisda, because Rav Chisda says this special inyan of the kolatz moisei tamana. But that's not the reason for Rav Papa. Rav Papa's reason is because since the tzoya is there b'mekoyma, so then you have tzoya on your body and you don't have the inyan of hoya machanecha kodosh if you have that tzoya there. Says the Gemara, "Bimkoyma nafish zehama, shle bimkoyma loy nafish zehama." The Gemara says, "Is that there's a difference between tzoya al psaroi and tzoya bimkoyma? Tzoya al psaroi means that if the person was not careful with his wiping, or if a person had problems with his bowels, so some of the tzoya fell, for instance, on his legs, or he might even have on his hands or his belly, or if he wasn't careful the way he wiped, etc." So that type of tzoya, that's one inyan. That type of tzoya, says the Gemara, le'nofish zoyama. Usually there's not that much of a reyach ra, not that much of a stench, because after all, this is really kind of a derivative, it's not b'mkoyma. However, if the tzoya is still b'mkoyma, says Rashi, then the stench can be much worse. And the reason it says Rashi, very simply, is look at 10 lines from the top. B'mkoyma nofish zoyama shechamahi. It's much warmer down below. It never really had a chance to air out. It's there covered over. And when the person is standing, it's kvetched. However, when he's sitting, you see it comes out. So it didn't have a chance to really get the benefit of airing out. So therefore, any time that the person is not careful, whilst he's walking, whilst he's standing, you could still feel and smell that stench emanating from that makom. That being the case, then everybody would agree, says her papa, putting aside the inyan of kolatz moisei tamari, without that. The reason is because nebuchi has tzoya, mashenkin tzoya l'psori, which is considered to be a lesser problem. And by tzoya l'psori, it's at least covered over, so you don't have the hoya machanecha kodosh v'chisisa seyasecha issue. It's covered over, so you only have the issue according to Rav Chisda of the kolatz moisei tamana. But if it happens to be b'mkoyma, even if it's covered over, since the stench is considerable, substantial, therefore it would be also according to everybody, says Rav Papa, to lay Krishna. And now we leave the inyan of tzoya and we go to the inyan of a person who in the middle of a meal had to go for a bathroom break, but lahashtin mayim, just for ketanin, or he took a break to speak to one of his chaverim. And the Gemara is going to tell us something which is startling. Tana Rabbanan, halacha b'seuda, one of the hilchoy seuda, one of the rules and regulations governing meals is that odam yoitz lahashtin mayim, the person went out to use the bathroom, he only has to go and wash that single hand that he used to be meshafshef the nitzaitis. Since we said at the top of the oven mitzvah meshafshef, if a person in fact had nitzaitis and he wiped and he washed, he only has to wash one hand. He doesn't have to wash the other hand that didn't participate. Of course, that's not the halacha, but that's the halacha of this price. when we go to the bathroom, we always wash with both hands, as everybody knows.
Soap,
you want to use soap, and you want to use all the other air fresheners and all the other stuff, and deodorants and what have you.
Yeah, we're not talking about Asher, so we're just talking about washing.
Washing, right. We're not talking about Asher. Exactly.
Pre-COVID, actually.
Pre-COVID.
Happy birthday twice now, right?
Okay. Halacha b'suda odom yoyt v'hashin mayim loytul yod achas. Binichnas, and then he can return to the suda. However, diberim chaveroi, if the reason why he left the suda was to go and shmooze with his chaver, the hiflik, and it was extended. The Gemara doesn't say how extended it was, but Rashi says, like shor achas ishtayim, for an hour, 2 hours. In other words, this wasn't just a 2 minute in and out. He stayed there for quite a while. And now he returns. Noitu shtei yadav. Here he didn't even go to the bathroom. When he went to the bathroom, you only have to wash one hand. If he spoke to his chaver, and we're not talking about he spoke to his chaver, nivul pechas hashol. He spoke to him important divrei Torah. He spoke to him, he went over a shear with him, whatever it was. He has to go and wash both hands. Now, why did he have to wash both hands? Says Rashi, because since he spoke to him for such a lengthy period of time, I'm afraid that he was mesiach da'atoi, which means his mind no longer was focused on the meal. And therefore, just like any time you go to break bread, that you want to go and wash for a meal, you have to wash when you're going to eat bread, eat challah, eat matzah, etc. So here too, the person already forgot that he had washed his hands 2 hours ago, because the last 2 hours he's been busy with other matters. So therefore he has to wash both hands, benichlis, and then he can return to the Says Gemara Kishu Noitel, when he washes his hands, lo yitomi b'chot, he shouldn't wash his hands outside the Yikonis and then enter into the Suda, b'nichshat, because people that see him re-entering the Suda will say, Yaakov, he didn't wash his hands. He's not a hand washer. And therefore, we don't want people to be choshed that he violated these rules and regulations. He should first sit down at his place at the table. And he should go and take a tepla with water and with a basin and wash his hands there at the table. And in fact, then he should go and ask his neighbor sitting to the right and to the left, do any of you need to wash your hands? Because I have here the tefiach. Tefiach is that tepala, that's the washing cup, and I have a basin, so you know, feel free. And Rashi goes one step further, that the shamus at the meal, that was the waiter, he'll also go and take around the basin and say, anybody else need to wash your hands? I have their hand washing, and I have the basin if anybody's ready. Rav Chizkiah said, that requirement that you have to go and wash your hands inside as opposed to outside, so there won't be a chashad, there won't be a suspicion that he didn't wash his hands. If when he is returning to the meal, he's returning to the tail end of the meal, which of course is likely since he's been away for the last hour or two, and now he's returning to the meal, and all they're left with is now just drinking cocktails. They're no longer eating. Baruch Hashem, they already had a full meal. And Rashi says that that was the minhag, after they finished the entire meal, then they would go and take a break, and everybody would sit down, and of course they would drink a Coca-Cola, and maybe some alcoholic beverages. But the point is, since all he's returning to is for shtia, for drinking, then you have to go and wash your hands inside among the guests. Avlecho, if he's returning and it's still in the middle of the meal, and we're still going to eat the main course, or whatever it is, then you can go and wash your hands outside and return to the meal. That may be a dia, the anina date. Everybody knows if you're going to go and eat the real makoi, not to drink, but to eat, that everybody has a certain degree of anina stas. Anina stas means people have a little bit finicky, people a little bit delicate, people are concerned about hygiene, and everything should be clean. And so therefore, you don't have to worry about that he washed his hands. Clearly he washed his hands because he knows he's going to start eating. And presumably we're talking about people at that time that didn't use forks and knives and spoons and things of that nature. If they're going to go and touch the food, obviously they're going to want to make sure that their hands are really clean, so they're going to go and wash them. But when if you're talking about just taking a drink, yes, goes up to him.
When you say wash your hands, it's sort of bracha?
Depends. If the person went to the bathroom, yes, he has to make the ashiyotza. If he's just washing his hands because his hands may be dirty, he does not have to make ashiyotza or on the tzitzitah. Goodish. Omrim nach b'yitzrach, v'ano, and me personally, I feel lishtois, even when I come in at the end of the meal to go and drink something, even though I've been away for a bit, I do not need to bring the washing equipment into the Suda room. I can wash outside because Lishtres Nami made the Yadi Danina Datoy. Everybody knows about me, Rav Nachman Yitzchak, that I'm a very finicky type of guy and that I wouldn't even take a drink if I didn't go and wash my hands. Rashi points out, what's so terrible if he's only coming in to drink? Not Rav Nachman Yitzchak, but anybody. Anybody that's just coming back to drink. There is no takana to wash your hands before drinking. There's only a takana to go and wash your hands before one starts a meal, when you're eating a piece of challah, a piece of bread, a roll. You don't even have a mitzvah, you don't even have a chiv to go and wash your hands, just to go and eat the stama meal without any bread. But many people today don't wash during the week or don't wash frequently. When I say wash, they don't eat bread, they don't eat challah, they don't eat matzah, only on Shabbos and things of that nature. They want to be gluten free or whatever reason is, or they're worried about calories, dietetic reasons, dietary reasons. Yeah, so you only have to go and wash before you eat, not before you drink. And that being the case, why does anyone even require to go and wash your hands after a long schmooze? You're coming back just to drink. There's no lechariachiv on drinking. You don't have to wash your hands. So Rashi says, because even though they're only drinking, maybe shemayitin prusa letoich pith, meaning presumably they didn't clean off the table. They still have little pieces of challah or bread or matzah or rolls, whatever, hanging around. Yes, the person's going to take a drink, but he hasn't eaten for the last hour or two. He's been schmoozing, so therefore he might take something and put it to his mouth. That's why you have to go and wash. But Nachman Yitzchak said, but I don't have to wash inside. I can wash outside because everybody knows I'm such a finicky type of person that, you know, every day I'm washing my hands 25 times. Everybody knows this. My hands are constantly chapturing in the winter, constantly washing them. So people know that I'm a washer.
We learned in Pesachim that there was a gezerah that Mashkin created a step up in all these gezerahs of the Tahara.
For sure.
So drinking, it seems to me, is even more vulnerable to Tumah.
Mm-hmm.
And if we're worried if these are gezeiros of Tumah v'Tahara, why aren't we gozer on washing hands by drinking too?
Here we're not Tumah v'Tahara. Here we're worried about the inyan of hygiene. That's why we're talking about a person going out of the bathroom, as well as a person schmoozing, and that he's misir das. Rashi doesn't mention throughout any of this an inyan of being tumah. What you're referring to about the drinking, that's talking about kahanim that are, before they eat or they drink, they have to be careful. The marim sacha that you're talking about is that if a person goes and eats or drinks oichlin tameim or mashkin tameim, even though min ha-Torah an oichl tamei and mashkin tamei would never be metamei a person, with the lone exception of nevelas oif tohar. Otherwise, if a person drinks, eats a machel which is tamei, for instance, his challah became tamei, his bread became tamei, his meat became tamei, any of those things, person can touch them, and he can embrace them, and he can go and kiss them. There is no din of tumah because oichlin mashkin cannot be metame a person. The only issue that we have is that he should not go and eat oichlin or mashkin tumah because he may have in his mouth at the same time a ochel or mashke which is tumah, and therefore he's going to be metame. The din of stam yadayim that required netilas yadayim is only in the times of the where the kahanim, it was for truma, and we continue this minig every time that we wash our hands for eating bread or eating challah or matzah, but not for any other food. In fact, if you wash your hands before you eat fruit, the Gemara calls that megasi haruach. So you see that even on food items, they were not mesakin kolchke, they were not mesakin on tricks. Look the Mishnah. Ein odem nichnas la'azor la'avoida afilu tohoir ad shiyidvoil. When a kohen is coming into the azora. Now, our Mishnah uses the term la'avoida. However, Rashi immediately jumps up and down. He says, lav davka. Ein odom nichlas la'azora ad shiyidvoil. Anybody that's going into the azora, it doesn't have to be a kohen. It doesn't have to be doing avoida. You're entering the azora, you have to make sure that you toivel. Ein odom nichlas la'azora la'avoida filu tohor ad shiyidvoil. Even though I'm tohor. You got to be toivel anyway. Why does the person have to be toivel? We'll see in the Gemara a machloikis between Ben Zoyma and Rabbi Yehuda, whether this is a tvila min ha-toira, or this is a tvila midraban. We'll see Mitzvah Sholim. Now we leave the generic general halacha of toivling before you go into Nazara, and now we focus specifically on the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur. As we all know, Chomish Tevilos Vasara Kedushin Toivel Kohen Gadol Umekadish Vayvayoyin. The Kohen Gadol has to toivel 5 times, and he has to go and wash his hands, Kiddush Adayim Raglayim, from the Kiyar 10 times. When, where, what? That's going to be a full discussion in the Gemara in Yet Hashem, not for today, but for the future. The Kulan Bakoidish Al Beis HaParva. All of the Tevilos that took place were on the Gag of the Beis HaParva. Beis HaParva was one of the Lishachis, one of the Lishkais in the Azara. And the Beis HaParva that was used Lemloyach Oirois for tanning, but that was down below. Up on top, on the Gag, they had over there a mikveh, and that's where the Kohen Gadol would go and toivel, but not all the 5 tevilos, but only tevilos 2 through 5. Tevilah number 1, he was toivel on top of the Shar Hamayim. We had this already before, Mitzvah, we're going to have it again tomorrow. Except for the first one, which was not on top of the Beis HaParva, was on top of the Shar Hamayim. Porusus Sadin Shal Bitz Beinoi Lebeinu. That when the Kohen Gadol went to the mikveh, they made sure that they would be tzniyus, and so therefore they would put up, they would say, a shower curtain, they put up some sort of sheet in between, so nobody would be able to see the Kohen Gadol as he's toiveling, because that would not be an inyan of tzniyus. Presumably, even though the Gemara used the term, the Beina Om, I mean, how many people were there in the mikveh on top of the Beis HaParva? Probably just the Kohen Gadol went with 1 or 2 gaboyim or whatever. And anybody that might have been there at the time, they put up a sadan shalbutz to make sure that he would
Actually, if there, everyone, what they said, everyone was waiting in the Ezra Yisrael, and from the Beis HaParva, which is in the south edge of the
So you think everybody was able to see above?
Why not? I mean, people, what were people there doing? They were looking to see. They want to see what's going on. So if they didn't put it up, sharp-eyed people would be able to see what's going on.
Could be. Zok Imar, the words Kiddush Adav Raglav are incorrect, and that's why they're taken out. On to the Imar. Zok Imar, Shalu Ez Ben Zoyim Tvila Zulamo. This first tefillah that we spoke about at the beginning of the Mishnah, that you go into the Azara, even if you're Tohoyer, you have to go and title. Vrei Timara, Lama, why? So Ben Zoyim said, Omalehem, Umma HaMishana Mi Kodesh Le Kodesh Mi Mokam She'onish Karis Le Mokam She'onish Karis To'en Tvila. What the Zoyim is saying is, I'm going to make a kal v'chomer from a Kohen Gadol. The Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur, he was Mishana Mikodesh to Kodesh. Mishana Mikodesh to Kodesh means that he was changing from the Avodas Chutz to the Avodas Penim. Part of the Avoda that he did that day was in the Azara, like we do every day, like the Tomei Shel Shacha, the Tomei Shel Ben Aboyim, the Musafim. For those, he wore the Bidei Kohuna Gedoyla, and then he went inside into the Heichel, and then in the Kodesh Kedoshim, for the Hazois, for the sprinkling of the blood, both of the Sawyer and of the Par and the Sawyer, as well as inside the Heichel, as well as the Chafinas Aktoiris, etc., etc. So each time he did that, he wore the Bidei Lavan. So each being he's Mishana, he's changing clothes, even though he's going from Kodesh to Kodesh, from the Azor into the Heichel, and the Heichel into the Kodesh Kedoshim, and Kodesh Kedoshim into the Heichel into the Azor, all of that is Kodesh Kodesh. And he's going from Mokim Sha'anish Karis to Mokim Sha'anish Karis. Any one of those places in the Beis HaMikdash, if a person happens to be Tamei, and he goes in B'mezid, Chas HaShem Zidin of Karis. Nevertheless, even though they're all on the same level, Kodesh to Kodesh, Karis to Karis, Toin Tvila, each time he changes from one place to the other, he has to title. Hamishana mechoy lekodesh, a person who's coming from outside the Beis HaMikdash and entering to the Beis HaMikdash now for the first time on that day. Umakish ain't on ishkaris, outside the Beis HaMikdash, no inish of karis. Umakish on ishkaris, ain't it in the chalachas kam vakama shetoin tvilabad rabad, he has to go and title. And this, kal vachoyim, the Gemara says in Amud Beis, is in fact a deraisa. This is minatayim. Based on this Kav HaChomer, every time a person entered into the Azara, regardless if he's doing the Avoid, just putting his foot into the Azara, he has to go and title. Rabbi Yehuda Omer says this is not Minatoyim, this is Srach Tvilehizu. Srach is an expression which means it's not a full-fledged biblical requirement Minatoyim to go and title, but rather it's midrabanan. Srach means it's similar to, it's like a pseudo tvila. I mean, it's a real mikvah. You got to go into a mikvah and you have to toivel. However, it's not on that same level. Why? What's the reason why? If a person happens to be quote unquote tohar, and when he wants to go into the Azara, the guard stops him and says, "Mister, did you go to the mikveh today?" "No, I didn't. Hashem, I haven't touched a dead nevela, dead sheretz. I haven't been a balgari. I haven't touched an indah. I haven't done this for years, for weeks, for months. I don't need to." "Mister, you got to go to the mikveh." "I have no choice." So he goes to the mikveh and he starts undressing. He starts thinking to himself, "Why that's good? You know what? You know that guard is much smarter than I thought. You know, yesterday I remember when I was walking down the street and then there was a crunch under my foot and then I put my foot up and I discovered over there, ay, 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 and I was washing off the bottom of my shoe for the next 3 hours."
Wouldn't it be a tefillin though? If you go to a tefillah before you go to the Mikdash, you'd still be a tefillin. You wouldn't have.
What was the last word that we read now?
Shabiyado.
Kadesh Yiska Tumish Yishana Shabiyado. What's the next word? What means Viyafresh?
He won't go in.
He won't go in. That's exactly the point. What we're hoping is that when the person's going to the Mikvah, he's going to do some, not only body searching, but some soul searching, and he says, "Why am I going to be? You know what? The guard is right. I happen to be Tomei. And I do need to go to the mikveh. And because I need to go to the mikveh, after I go to the mikveh, I won't even be able to enter into the Azara today because I'm a Tevil Yayim. And then he'll have to come back tomorrow." That's what Rav Yehuda is saying. When you have a scheduled appointment, or not a scheduled appointment, you're coming in as a tourist into the Azara, you gotta go to the mikveh. Why? Not because I know that you're Tomei, but I'm hoping as a result of requiring you go to the mikveh, you'll start thinking about Tumah V'Tahara, and then you'll remember a Tumah Yishana Shemiyodai that he was Tomei already from before, and he had not gone to the mikveh until now. He's gonna go to the mikveh now, the Yifroish, and that he's going to stay out of the Azara today and come back tomorrow. How do I know the Yifroish means stay out and come back tomorrow? You look at the last line of the Rashi. The Yifroish, look at the last line now. The Yifroish means lovoy la Azara hayoyim. In fact, he won't go into the Azara. Maybe he'll go back to the guard and say, thank you very much for warning me and for telling me to go to the mikveh. Ach yarav shimshay until the evening. Achra tefillah v'lo yavarayam. In fact, he won't do avoid it. If he's a kohen, he won't do avoid it. Today he'll come back the next day. Good. So the Maisa, according to Ben Zoyma, this is Din D'Oraisa. According to Rabbi Yehuda, this is just a way for him to remember, to recall, since Rabban. Right, what would be the nafkimina lahalacha? So initially the Gemara said the nafkimina will be ba'achule avoida kamefigi. What happens if the koyin did avoida without toiveling in the mikveh? Would that be machal el avoida? Machal means to go and desanctify it, to make it profane. That would be the machlekes. Le menzoima machal avoida. Since it's a chiyuv d'oraisa, if you didn't do it, it's machal the avoida. But Rabbi Yehuda, since it's only drabanan, lo machal avoida. But the Gemara is not happy with that answer, and the Gemara says, "Benzoima mi machal." Even though the Torah requires you to go to the mikveh, that doesn't mean that if you fail to go to the mikveh, that the whole avoida is machulal, that it's all profane. What time do we have in the braisa? Koyin gadol shuloi toval v'loi kiddush bein beged lebeged ubein avoida laavoida. Even though the Kohen Gadol is required to go and toivel 5 times, and to mekadesh yadayim raglayim 10 times throughout the Yom Kippur, if he didn't, avoida soik sheir, the avoida is kosher after all. In other words, this is certainly a major requirement. However, it's not mechal the avoida b'diavad. So, Ibazoi, you're telling me that Ben Zoyim is learning his whole mekayim. When a kohen wants to do the avoid in the base of Midrash, how do I know he has to toivel? A kal v'chomer from the kohen gadol, like we said on the Amud Aleph. The kohen gadol himself, if he failed to go and toivel and he failed to do kiddush d'avodah, the avoid is kosher. So, how can you go and say by a kohen hedyut that if he didn't go and toivel, that the avoid would be mechulal? Before we get to the teretz, we're just going to finish off the braisa. Echad kohen gadol, v'yechad kohen hedyut, shloi kiddush yodah v'raglav shachris. The Ovid Avoida, Avidasa Psula, even though the toiveling in the mikveh is not ma'akiv b'di'evet, however, the Kiddush Adayim Raglayim is. So any kohen, Sai Kohen Gadol, Sai Kohen Hedyut, that didn't do Kiddush Adayim Raglayim at the outset in the morning, and he did the Avoida, Avidasa Psula. But once again, The kash is not from the second part, because here we're talking about toivling, we're not talking about kiddush daivraglayim. And by toivling, we said at the beginning, kohen gadol shelo toval, avidasei kshera. So even according to ben zoyma, it should be kosher. So what's the nafkimina between ben zoyma and Rabbi Yehuda? Everyone make him asay kamiflegi, where the person violated an asay. Now what is the asay? The asay, says Rashi, is that it says on Yom Kippur, v'rochas v'mayim es pesari ulevesham, that the Kohen Gadol has to be rochas pesari v'mayim, means, actually it says v'rochas v'mayim es pesari, he has to go to the mikvah, he has to do that five times. If he failed to do it five times, each time he's being mavatel and mitzvah saseh in the Torah, that applies to the Kohen Gadol, that he has to go and title. The same thing would apply to a Kohen Hedjit, who's learning based on this Kal V'chomer that we had in the Amud Aleph, that you have to go and go to the mikvah. If you didn't, you violated maseh. But you're not mechal de avoyda. So ben zoyma koi basay. Rabbi Yehuda like koi basay. Since a contributor is only drabanan, you're not violating an asay, you're violating a takana drabanan, which is also a bad thing to do. But it doesn't come to the level of violating an asay in a term. Frank Dimar, umi isle Rabbi Yehuda chai svara. So Rabbi Yehuda hold that every time a person comes to the azara, he has to go in toivo before he enters, because so he should remember the Tumah Yishana. But Tanya, we learned in the Braisa, Legabi the Halacha of a Metzaira. What's the din of Metzaira? Metzaira is Toivel the Oymed B'Shar Niknar. As you recall, the Halacha of Metzaira is that once the Kohen identifies the Baruch Hashem, that the Metzaira has no longer any more Tzaraz, so then the Metzaira has to go and bring the two small little Oifalach. He has to go, not in the Beis Mikdash, outside the Beis Mikdash, and he has to go and shecht one of them, and then he throws and takes that one, and you have the living one that you go and toivel in the dam, and you add water, and then you have to go and take the Eretz Ezoiv to the Shnei Talos, and then you have to go and send away the living bird, al Pnei Asada, Aganta ceremony. And then within 7 days he has to have the Teglachas, and on day number 8, a week later, then he has to go and bring 3 Kabbanis in the Beis HaMikdash. Okay, now part of that bringing of the Kabbanis is that they're going to go and put blood on the Tanuch, as well as on the Bahainais, as well as Shemen on the Tanuch and the Bahainais. Now the Metzora, until he's brought his 3 Kabbanis, he's called a Mechusse Kippurim. Since he's a Mechusse Kippurim, he cannot enter into the Azar. But he has to have the Nesinas Adam, the Shemen. And you can't go and take out of the Azara the Dam and the Shemen. So what are you going to go and do? It's a catch-22 situation. The Metzora is not allowed to go into the Azara to go and put on the Dam and the Shemen. But if he stays outside the Azara, you can't take the Dam and the Shemen out. It'll become possible B'yoytze. So what are we going to do now? Says the Gemara, Chabanaitze. The material will stand B'Shar Niknar. Shar Niknar is the famous Shar that divided between the Ezras Noshim and the Ezras Yisrael, what we call the Azara. And the material would stand there, and he would go and just put his hands in, his fingers in, as well as his ear, to be able to go and get the Nesinas Adam, as well as the Nesinas Hashem. Aha. So Dr. Breitzer, the Metzora toivel v'oymed b'shar niknar. On that day 8, the day that the Metzora is bringing his kabbanos, he'll stand in shar niknar, but he has to go and toivel beforehand, because after all, part of his body will enter into the azar. So you got to toivel. No, you don't have to toivel. Parenthetically, why not? I say parenthetically because you'll see soon that the Gemara at least initially ignores the next few words. Shekvar tovel mibar, if he already toiveled yesterday, meaning after, on the 7th day, after he did his tiglachas, he already toiveled during the day, he already had a Herev Shemesh, you don't need a new tevila today, according to Rabbi Yehuda. Frank of the Gemara, Rabbi Yehuda just said a moment ago that even a tohoir that enters into the Beis HaMikdash always has to go and go to the mikvah. Maybe he had a tumah yishana. So why would the same Rabbi Yehuda hold by this metzora that ain't a tzarich tevila? Of course he needs tevila. Any person that comes into contact with the azara needs tevila. So shver astira Rabbi Yehuda on Rabbi Yehuda. Everything Gemara.
Isn't it very simple?
Yeah.
You're walking into the Beis HaMikdash.
Yeah.
You're not going there to just walk around and you
know, on a tour. Right.
It's even if you do nothing there, right. Just the presence in it, assuming you're allowed, is service. Right. So why all this complicated conversation? All this. Look, you're walking in. You need to be tahor.
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 Well, The point that you're making,
I guess, but
Ed, you're saying a very, very good point. The point that you're making, that was the first Rashi in the Mishnah. Because even though it said in the Mishnah, a person cannot go into the Zara l'avoida for do service unless he toivled, Rashi said lav dafka. It doesn't really mean avoid. The Eimon of Nichlas Lazara, a person now that will walk into the Zara ad sheyitvold, even if he's not doing any service. For instance, the Yisraelim that walked into the Azara, typically they were not doing any Sheiris. The only Sheiris that they could do would be Shechita. They can also do secondary Sheiris like Hefshin and Nituach, as we had a couple of days ago in the Gemara on Shabbos.
And maybe like the menorah. Maybe.
Exactly. So things of that nature. But nevertheless, any time he's going into the Azara, he has to go and toivel your avoid the Nishta avoid, which is exactly your point. You don't need
if the service is walking into it.
Just walking in, exactly. You have to go and wash your hands. I agree with you. Anyway, Rashi agrees with him. So getting back to our Gemara now. So we have a steer of Yehuda and Rehuda. On the Amud Aleph, we said Rehuda says even a Toher has to go and go to the mikveh because of the Tumah Yishana. He might remember that he is previously Tumah. Here, by the Metzoyer, said Rehuda, Ein Toch Tvila! On day number 8, he can stand there. He doesn't have to toivel. The guard says to him, hey, did you go and toivel today? No, I did not. Why didn't you go and toivel? I hold like Rav Yehuda. Rav Yehuda says, I'm a Metzayra, day number 8. I don't need tevila. That's what Rav Yehuda holds. Rav Yehuda says, everybody has to go.
That's a joke. In the case of Metzora, he just had the Tiglachas and everything. Believe me, he knows he's been Tamei.
Why don't you go one step further? What's the reason why Yehuda says Ein Toch Tefila? What's the continuation?
Because
he already toivled
yesterday.
Exactly. That's why you don't have to do a new Tefila today.
Right.
That's going to be the Gemara's teretz. But in the meantime, that's why I said keep them in parentheses for that very reason. The Gemara only focuses now on the fact that Yehuda said before every Tohar needs Tefila, and here Rabbi Yehuda says that the Metzayre B'yoyim Taharosay on day number 8 is bringing Kabbalah does not need Tefila. Everything Gemara. Nishver, the price itself says clearly the reason why it doesn't need tefillah. How can it only time a shikvar tell me better? Einachanami avada had he not toivel the day before, of course he would have to go and toivel now. So what was even the havam mina? I mean, it says so clearly the only reason why it doesn't need tefillah shikvar toval. What's the kasha? Every Gemara, you're 100% right. The reason why the asking akasha is not so much. We're asking Akasha from this Brisa on the mute of mitzvah. Yes. Somebody who joined us, there's a lot of noise in the background. Please put yourself on mute. Yasher Koyach. Getting back to our Gemara. So the Gemara says now that really and truly there was another steer we asked about Rabbi Yehuda, which we didn't even mention until now. But we're going to bring now other Brisa's, also featuring Rabbi Yehuda, where we're going to have a steer. What is the steer? We should be kabbalah the miri achritel. We want to ask another kasha. Which day to do a brisa? Doesn't say tana rabbanan toshima, but it's not a brisa. Lishkas hamitzeroyim shisham mitzeroyim toivlin. Rabbi Yehuda Omer loy mitzeroyim b'levad amru ala kol adam. One of the many lishachos that they had in the Azara was called the lishkas hamitzeroyim. That's a very strange name. A lishka from Mitzrayim. Mitzrayim are supposed to be mechutz l'machane. They get a special lishka. Yeah! Shisho Mitzrayim toivel. There was a special mikvah for the Mitzrayim. So apparently this was still b'choil, even though it was part of the Beis Mikdash. Presumably the entranceway was from the chil. So the Mitzrayim, even though they're not tohar yet, they can go and toivel there, and that's their lishka. Okay. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Lo Mitzrayim B'Levad Amru. Even though the name of the Lishka was Lishka of Mitzrayim, however, this was not exclusively only for the Mitzrayim club, because presumably then this Lishka would only be used twice once a year or once in a few months. After all, how many Mitzrayim were there in Klal Yisrael? And when they became Mitzrayim, how quickly did they become Tohar that they're all rushing to the Beis Hamikdash? So this is probably not used frequently by the Mitzrayim. I'll call out them. Anybody who needed to toivel can go into that to Mokum Tefillah, no problem. They couldn't go to the mikvah on top of the base of Parva because that was Bakoidish.
Right.
And they couldn't even get there because that means that they are walking through Mokum Koidish and they're not allowed to. As Ed said so beautifully before, a person is not allowed to go into the Azara or to any Lishka which is Koidish before he toivels. So it's a catch 22. I can't become Tohar until I go to the mikvah. I can't go to the mikvah unless I go through the Koidish.
Well, that's Jeremiah.
That we're going to talk Mitzvah tomorrow. Maybe they had people there too.
In the Parma, there was half of it was whole, half of it was.
But apparently, the mikvah was in Kodesh. Okay. Anyway, so the Maaseh, so the Gemara says, "Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Loi Mitzrayim B'Levad Amru Kol Adam." This Lishka Mitzrayim was used by other people. In other words, there are multiple mikvahs. So now I have a stira, Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yehuda. What is the stira? Here, Rabbi Yehuda said, the gabe, the case of the metzoira who's coming to bring his karbonois. He's going to stand in the shan nikna, says, Yehuda, in the turkle. You don't have to trifle. Shikvar tavel. He already trifled. You don't have to trifle again. Well, here Rabbi Yehuda says that the purpose of Lishkan Mitzrayim was not only for the Mitzrayim, not Mitzrayim Belvad, but also Kolon, but certainly for the Mitzrayim. Now, when would the Mitzrayim come to the base majors that they require a tefillah that they still call Mitzrayim? Obviously on day number 8. So we're talking about the same Mitzrayim that Rabbi Yehuda said before, since they traveled already yesterday. You don't have to travel again today. And Rabbi Yehuda said, oh, no, the Mitzrayim are here. They better go and travel. So the Chayra Stira, Rabbi Yehuda. To like Kash. How to tell by trouble? Very simple teretz. The case before in the Braisa, the reason why you don't have to toivel on day number 8, because he toiveled already on day number 7. So you do not have to do a repeat performance on day number 8. But if he didn't go and toivel on day number 7, then he has to go and toivel on day number 8. Now we get to Barry's Kash as he asked on the Yomid Aleph. If you're telling me that the reason why he's toiveling today is because he didn't toivel yesterday. Come to Chayis, if he toivels now, he's going to be a Tvul Yoyim. Tvul Yoyim, you have to wait until Harav Shemesh. He won't be able to bring his Karbonis today anyway. It lay Tovul Harav Shemesh, boy. So what have we accomplished by making a Lishkas Mitzrayim for them to go and toivel today for all of those that didn't toivel yesterday? So Magun Shavkati. Says Imar, you're absolutely right. El Eid of Eid of the Tovul. Both Brises are talking about the Mitzrayim already toiveled yesterday. Say Bazoi, why does one Brisa say he has to travel again today and the other one not? It's talking about a situation where, in the case of the material that traveled yesterday, that does not have to re-travel today, because the entire time he was focused on the fact, I better stay Tohoyer, from the time that he had his tefillah yesterday, because since I'm going to the Beis Midrash tomorrow, I'm going to bring my karbonis, I better remain tar. So every few minutes, he had his iPhone would go and the timer would ring, and he would say, why is it ringing? Oh, I got to be tar. Stay away from the Vela, stay away from Shrotzim, stay away from Mason, stay away from Valkyrie. Do the best you can. So he was not Messiah Das. He does not have to retoivel the next day, like Rabbi Yehuda said in the previous price. Because Shekvar Tovol Meyasmol, you already Tovol from the day before Me'erv. Masha Enka in the Asach Daite, if he went to the Mikvah, then after that, his mind was preoccupied by many other things. And in fact, he doesn't even remember, yo, I think I did go to the Mikvah. Did I go and pay for the Mikvah? I don't remember if I paid or not. Etc., etc. So he was Mesiach Das, then he has to go and Tovol once again. But since it's only a Hesach Das situation, Lemaisa, he remembers that he toivled yesterday, so he's no longer Tvul Yoyim. He has to do this to reinforce because of the Hesach Das.
But if he toivled yesterday and he slept overnight, isn't it Siach Das?
That's a good question. I was wondering myself, what does that mean that he was Masiach Das, not Masiach Das? Throughout the night, obviously, you're not thinking about Tumtah unless you have dreams about Tumtah. So perhaps the Hesach Das is only a concern during
waking hours.
When you're alive and waking and walking and coming and going and doing.
You can have das, in the parsha of das.
Yeah. Mashenker, if a person is sleeping, he doesn't really have to worry about he's going to touch a nevel or a sheretz in the middle of the night, unless it's the type of guy that's stretching over and
But that's why we wash our hands in the morning, isn't it? I mean, because Yodos Haskanios is saying.
That's true, but the Yodos Haskanios doesn't make the person tummy. It makes the meluchlich. It touches places which are mechusa. Then you have to wash them. But not a person in the morning, you wouldn't say to be tummy, because if everybody's tummy, then more people will be going to the mikveh every day. I touch a sheretz, I touch a nevel, I touch this and that. Anyway, says the Gemara, e asach dati, if in fact this person totally forgot, or at least he was not mindful of the fact that yesterday he went to the mikveh, it shouldn't be enough just to go to the mikveh. Hazosh li shishvi boy. We should go and require him to go full-blown hashosh, even though he didn't go into oil and mess. But since he was Mesiach Das, he wasn't thinking, maybe he wasn't oil. Maybe he went underneath the tree next to a cemetery. Maybe he went next to a chapel and there was a tree. Who knows? The Omer of Destoy Bar Masan Omer of Yechanan, Hesach Adas, Tzorech Hazosh li shishvi. If a person Mesiach Das and he wants to go to the base of English, it's not enough just to go to the mikveh. He asked Hazosh li shishvi. So he was like, in the second brisa, it didn't say anything about Zosh Lishishvi, it just said about going to the mikveh in the Lishka Samitzurai. Both times they're talking about he was not Mesiach Das. What does the Gemara mean? There's a Mishnah Mesechtes Chagiga where in the Perek Chomer Bakoidish it says that the Chacham instituted rules and regulations because we wanted to make sure there's plenty of Tahara B'Yisrael. And one of the rules and regulations is that when a person toivels in the mikveh, he should have in mind what's the reason why I'm toiveling. And if the person had in mind a lower level of Kedusha V'Tahara, he is not Yotze a higher level, even though it's the same Tvila in the same mikveh. What do I mean? What happens if a person says, I am a chover, I eat all my chulin b'tahara, and therefore the reason why I'm going to the mikveh now is because I want to eat some chulin today, or tonight after Erev Shemesh, and therefore I want to go for the chulin. If that person also happens to be a kohen, that tvila says the Mishnah is ineffective for him to be able to eat truma, because he only had in mind for chulin. Oh, so he better have in mind next time for truma. And not only for truma, the Gemara says even for Master Shaini. Master Shaini is eating in Yerushalayim. If he only had in mind for chulin, it's not enough for Master Shaini. And if next time he goes to the mikveh, I better have in mind for Master Shaini. And he comes out of the mikveh, he dries himself. And now he wants to eat truma. Not effective for truma, because he didn't have in mind for truma. So, next time he goes to the mikveh, he has in mind for truma. And guess what? He's invited to go and eat some kodshim that day. Still, he cannot eat them until he goes to the mikveh once again. Because each time, you have to have in mind for that level of tahara that you need to go and eat to participate in shayrus for them. So says the Gemara, in both cases, the metzayra was he toivled and he wasn't Mesir Das. However, on day number 7, when he toivled Stam, he wanted to go twice, eat chulin b'tahara, he wanted to eat Maser Sheni, if he's a kohen, he wanted to go and eat Truma. However, he didn't go and das b'yis mikdash. In other words, at that time, he was not thinking that on day number 8, tomorrow, I have to go into the base mikdash to go and bring my kabbalas. He didn't think of that. That being the case, on day number 8, says the second brisa, he has to go and do a new tevila. But Eina Hanami, the first brisa that says that he does not have to toivel over again, he's talking about not only did he toivel yesterday, he was not Mesiach Das yesterday, but also he had in mind al Das B'yis Mikdash. I have another tenet. Tani loy mitzurayin amru ela kol adam. Meaning, the only word that caused us a steer in the first place is because it's said by the Lishkas HaMitzrayim that said Rabbi Yehuda, Loi Mitzrayim bilvad amru ela kol adam. So not only the Mitzrayim toivled there on day number 8, but everybody toivled whenever they want to go to the Asa. Ah, our Gemara is now changing the Braisa and taking out the word bilvad. We're not taking out a lot of words. We're only taking the word bilvad. Bilvad. That's the only word that we're taking out. Good. So what does it say now? Rabbi Yehuda says that the name of this Lishka is a fascinating name. Because Loi Mitzrayim Amru, it wasn't really intended for Mitzrayim, because Mitzrayim all toivled the day before. Rather, it was for Kol Adam, was meant for everybody.
So why they call the Lishka Mitzrayim?
That's a very good question. The Gemara doesn't address that. But according to the previous Teretz, of course, that you don't have that issue. But according to this Teretz, it's a little bit schwer because the Mitzrayim didn't need to go and toivel if they toiveled the day before. So you're going to tell them, what about those Mitzrayim that forgot to go and toivel the day before? If they didn't toivel the day before, they wouldn't be able to bring the Karbanos anyway, because it would be a Tevul Yom. So, therefore, the term Mitzrayim would seem to be inappropriate. So, our Gemara doesn't go into it. Maybe we get to Midois or Tumit, maybe we'll talk about it. No, we're not going in circles. We're just going into the mikveh. Ravina Omar. Ravina says, I have a new pshat. Rabbi Yehuda Debrem de Rabban Kamalu. There is a dialogue and a monologue going on over here. That what? Says Rabbi Yehuda to Rabban. That's what I said in the previous brisa. A mitzayin doesn't need tevila. He already tevila yesterday. He already had tevila yoyim, a hair of shemesh. He was not Mesiach Das. He doesn't have to go to mikveh at all. Lidutchu, according to you guys, according to Rabban, that you were Matzrich Tvila, oily easy miyas. At least agree to me to limit Mitzrayim Bilvad Amru ala kol Adam, that this Lishkas HaMitzrayim wasn't used exclusively in Mitzrayim, it was used by everybody. Anybody and everybody that's going to the Beis Mikdash went to go and toivel the mikvah. Why? Because Rabbi Yehuda said back in the Amud Aleph, people had to be conscientious about the fact that maybe they had a tumah yeshana, the yifroi, so everybody used the mikvah, not just the Mitzrayim. But according to me, Rabbi Yehuda says, the Mitzrayim doesn't have to go and toivel on day number 8 because he already toivel on day number 7 and everything is wonderful. What did the Rabbanan say? Rabbanan mitzayra daish betuma, kaladam li daish betuma. You have a point. You said that if a mitzayra is toivling, an odom should also toivle. No, I gotta go and tell you, a mitzayra and odom are fundamentally different. Why are they fundamentally different? Because the mitzayra is daish betuma. Daish betuma means he was immersed, he lived in tuma for the last week, month, year, 5 years. After all, Mitzayda has been Tamei for an extended period of time. Tamei, Tamei Yikra, he's Mechus Lamachna, he's probably during that period of time, who knows how many Nevelas he's touched and how many dead Shrotim. If he's, I'm Tamei anyway, I can't really add to the degree of Tamei, I'm anyway Tamei. So, for a Mitzayda, even though he Tamei the day before, go and Tamei again, because he's Rogel Betumah, and I'm afraid, who knows what may have happened. Masha'en came, the Gabi Rabbi Yehuda, Yehuda said, no, I don't hold that halacha, and therefore, no difference between the Torah, no difference between Kolada. Only by the Rabbi Yosef.
So
I'm sorry?
We started the Mishnah.
Yes, yes.
Talking about the trilas, and then we said about Kohen Gadol. The Kohen has five trilas.
Yes.
He already was talking, before he came to the Parhedra,
Our headroom was what he was for 7 days.
Right,
the Parvus was
right.
Toivling now, and
no,
we'll keep him
one.
This was for headroom.
This was for headroom.
Okay, what about it?
So he told, I assume then he was Tovol, in Desamayim, right? He came in.
Sharamayim.
Sharamayim.
Correct.
Okay, so now the first Tvila that he has during the day, why does he need that first Tvila?
Right.
He was already fine from his original 7 days ago tefillah.
He's been protecting himself from tumah all seven
right.
days.
He's
in a base of Eben, he's
right.
eating everything, he's insulated from tumah.
One second. Base of Eben is referring to the Kohen who's Soyref
Esapar. I'm sorry.
Your apologies accepted. The Kohen Gadol before Yom Kippur was for 7 days in the Lishkos Parhedrin. It's not only that he toiveled every single day, but every single day he had Shlishi Ushmi Hazor from the Paradum. So he is super, super tar. Which days didn't he have the Shlishi Ushmi? Either on the fourth day or if it was on Shabbos, because Hazor is considered Shavuos, and therefore it's not Toiches Shabbos. So, every single day, other than those days, he was having azor, 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 azor means the sprinkling of the poraduma water. And after that, he would go to table to the mikvah, he would have tevul yoim, and then herev shemesh. So this was every single day of the week. But all of that, remember the Gemara said, either it's because of miluim, where they had the 7 days, or it was because of mali yaseir, made a special mali. That being the case, that's wonderful. But now on Yom Kippur itself, you have a chiv min haTorah. This is not malos. This is not derivatives from miluim. The Torah says, "Varochatz pamayim es psorei ulevashim." Every time he goes and puts on the new clothing, the other clothing, big day lovin, big day kahuna gedoyla, big day zov. Each time he's switching, he has to go and have another tefillah. So this is the mitzvah saseim min haTorah. What we started off the Gemara saying was that Ben Zoyma says, "I have a kal v'chaymer from that." To and Kohen Hedjit throughout the year that's entering into the Azari, he also has to go and have a tefillah. Why? Because Madach mi Kodesh ala Kodesh, you need a tefillah. Allah is kam v'koinah, kama from Michoil ala Kodesh, you need a tefillah. Good, I'll swam fit. Good. Only a Bailer of Yosef. Says a Bailer of Yosef, Neymar Abonin de Pligia laid Rabbi Yehuda, kim ben Zoyma Svira Lahu. Let us go and say that Rabbanan in the Braisa that disagree with Rabbi Yehuda and require the Mitzayra to have a Tevila, even though he had a Tevila on day number 7. He asked to have a Tevila on day number 8. Rabbi Yehuda said no, once he traveled yesterday, if he was not Mesir Das, and he had in mind for Tumas Mikdash, for Kadosh, and B.S. Mikdash, he doesn't have to retitle. The Chum that do require a new Tevila, L'chor Dehol Kibben, Zoy Mesvir Lahu. Why? I behind the tani mitzayra. Then I bezoi. Why is the focus on mitzayra, mitzayra, mitzayra? We should focus on person, person, person. Any yidin klai Yisrael who's coming into the base of Mavish, he has to go and toivel. After all, we have our kal v'chaymer. Why are we focusing on mitzayra? So maybe the reason why we focus on mitzayra is the diach koicha to Rabbi Yehuda, the kula of Rabbi Yehuda, that not only a regular guy, but even a mitzayra who's been immersed in tumah for so long. He still is potter from toivling as long as he toivled yesterday. He wasn't Mesiach Das. Is that the reason then of the Rabbanan? Because they hold like Ben Zayma. No, they don't really hold like Ben Zayma. But the reason why we're focusing on Mitzayra as opposed to a regular individual is because since the Mitzayra has been so immersed in Tumah for the last period of time. So, as a double precaution, even though we toivel in day number 7, we haven't toivel in day number 8. So he wants to know, what is the svara of the Rabbanan? The reason is taken not because of the Zayma, but for the second reason, because since the Mitzrayim has been so immersed in Tumah, you tried with yesterday, tried with again today. According to Rabbi Yehuda, that holds that it's only Srach Tvila, meaning Mina Torah doesn't really need a Tvila. He only does that because as a mnemonic, as a memory device, to remember, did I toivel? Yes, and not if did I become Tamei? I'm not sure. Look at the top Rashi. Choytz Eino Choytz. Rabbi Yehuda Da'omim Neisrach Tvila Be'almi. Possible b'chatzitik shat tvilos, the mice is toiveling. So therefore, if you're toiveling, you got to do a perfect job. And if you have a chatzitah, then it's possible. The whole purpose is just a memory device to jog his memory. Maybe it's not. Amalei, back to you. Amalei called the talking about. I'm getting there. Right,
taking an inner plug. You're not going to make a sally say a chetiza doesn't matter.
Exactly.
It's going to create all sorts of problems.
Exactly. So therefore, bottom line is, even according to Yehuda, that this is only as a tefillah derabanan, just that to jog his memory.
It's according to all the rules and regulations.
All the rules and regulations that pertain to tefillah.
Pretty there too.
Have a wonderful day, Rabbi Yisrael Zagevich.
I'm stunned the Gemara even entertained the question that it's chatzitza and it wouldn't matter in a tefillah. I mean, it's...
Rabbi Yisrael, it's hard to gauge when we're going to start tomorrow. It'll probably be a few minutes later than regular because tomorrow's Rosh Chodesh. So, well, whenever you appear on the screen, we'll be delighted to see all of you. Have a wonderful day. Baruch Hashem. Good Rosh Chodesh.
Are we going to be saying this again for an extended period of time? You said this morning?
No, this was just a one day thing. You're welcome to say Tillin every single day. But this
time, let's say it bombed again today. God forbid.
There is a panel of very great Torah sages, which is known as the Mietzis.